This is the Rural Report on ABC Local Radio.
If you think the price of water in the Murray-Darling is going to return to levels around $100 a megalitre for any major length of time, think again. That's the message from a leading firm which studies the water market in that region. Chris Olzak is the director at AETHA, and he's meeting with farmers this month with the Victorian Farmers Federation to give them what he says is the best information about the water market. I spoke to Mr. Olzak about the state of play.
The water market has changed rapidly over the last 10 years. There's been a lot more sophistication around the products that are out there, how water is traded, but also huge changes that are fundamental changes in the supply and the demand for water, with our catchments affected by climate change and really variable water availability conditions. And we've had dramatic changes in the commodities that are being grown with irrigation water within the Southern Connected System. It's important that we think about that whole system from the Murrumbidgee and up in Griffith, where there are cotton and rice growers and wine grape growers, and it connects all the way through to South Australia and all the way through here to the Goulburn region. It's all one big system where that market price depends on what's happening across the whole system.
And that's a really good point to make, isn't it, for people who mightn't understand the water markets? A farmer in Griffith can effectively be competing with a farmer in Shepparton for the same product, for the same water on the market.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've had $600 allocation prices this year to own it. We're talking upwards of $4,000 for licence. Where does that average out? Where does the price of water begin to sit over the next decade or so?
Yeah, look, that's a $64 million question that everyone wants to know the answer to, and I wish I knew exactly as well. It obviously depends on, you know, what's going to happen in commodity prices. Will those commodity prices that are so great now for those industries downstream, those permanent horticulturalists and for cotton growers, will that be sustained? Will it collapse and change? The nature of the Murray-Darling Basin is extreme variability, so anything on average is a bit scary. So those extremes seem to be getting worse, in that we're having a lot more really wet years and a lot more drought sequences. So what we would say is that, you know, if people thought about an average price in the past, that it's definitely significantly increased, and that's putting pressure on some of the industries to make adjustment decisions if you can't compete in that market.
So there's been a step change in the value of water over this last sort of decade or so?
Yeah, look, absolutely there's been a step change, and it's due to both the supply side and the demand side changes that are increasing, both pointing towards increased value of water, increased scarcity, and that means that there's going to be some hard decisions about, you know, which industries and, you know, who gets the water.
So the days of $100 water are going to become a rarer thing.
Yeah, look, I think you will only get back to those levels where there are really wet conditions and storages are approaching being full, unless there's a dramatic change in commodity prices.
So should farmers be prepared for the water to be, say, above $200 in any given season?
Look, I think so. But yeah, look, we would see strong interest above $200 per megalitre, and think that it's going to have to be pretty wet, or something's going to have to be significantly changed for water to drop back below $200.
AETHA have also done work, you've released it recently, looking at the effects, I suppose, downstream of the Barmah Choke, the classic tightening of the system, which looks at the water being supplied there and the deliverability then of that water to that area where a lot of the development in agriculture has been in late. What has your work telling that part of the Murray-Darling?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One of the key pieces of research has been missing is just how much demand is for permanent horticulture is below the Barmah Choke on the Murray. And I think we've provided some insight into that with some new research and collating information from across the states on just how much water is going to be used by those permanent horticultural developments, the ones that are there now, and as they grow. What we then do is then assess how much water will be available for those permanent horticultural industries and everyone else under different seasonal conditions. And what it shows is if we get really dry, extreme dry conditions, like a repeat of the millennium drought, that effectively the horticulturalists will be demanding all of that water that's in the system as it is at the moment. The key thing about that is that carryover makes a massive difference, and our report deliberately doesn't include carryover. So the ability to carry over will be a really important feature in terms of managing those, for those extreme dry conditions. And what we'll see is many people carrying over water from year to year to help manage the impacts of such an extreme event.
Correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth here. So effectively, your report is saying in an extreme dry year, these permanent plantings are really going to place a demand for nearly all the water that's available for irrigation in that season.
If there was no carryover, yes, that's correct. And then the question would be, would they get it? How efficiently would the market work? And to what extent would constraints on trade out of the Goulburn and from above the choke to below the choke bind? So there's a whole range of complexities to that. But yes, it shows we're getting to that point that without any carryover in the system, if we had a repeat of the millennium drought, the worst year of the millennium drought, that horticulture as it stands now and with that development that's already locked in would use up all of that water. So it gives a bit of a ballpark understanding of the level of development.
Is the market working in its structure at the moment from how you look at it, or where could it be tweaked to be a better, more responsible market?
Yeah, look, I think overall the market is working, and I think it's responding, it's doing what it's responded to do, what it's been developed to do, which is match supply and demand. So I think overall the market is working well. We do a lot of work internationally, and the water market in Australia is viewed as a great example of a way to manage climatic variability and competing demands across different users and systems. But that's certainly not to say that it's working perfectly well, and there's a lot that could be done to further enhance the market. The Victorian government representatives here today are talking about ways around enhancing transparency. We've also got to make sure that the financial market for water matches up with the physical market for water. You've got to be able to move the water through the system, through those constraints, to be able to get it to where it's needed. And there are rules around that can always be refined and improved.
Does the change slow down, or because of the boom-bust cycle of commodities, does it keep going at this pace?
Yeah, look, it's hard to see this level of the pace of change continuing. I think there will be a potential slowing of the new horticultural development. We can't keep going at the rapid pace that it has been over the last 3 or 4 years.
That's Chris Olzak, Director at AITHA.